Right, well, it's wonderful to be here, and it's a huge privilege to be asked to share the word. I've listened to a few Cold Harbour sermons online, so I was trying to figure out roughly like what sort of time frame. And in December, Don preached for 13 minutes at one point, and then Ken did a 42 minute in June. So I'm going for the record today, 45. No, I'm kidding. All right, let me just pray for us. Father, I do thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. And I pray that I won't get in the way of that, Lord, that you will speak clearly today, that it won't be about time, that our minds won't be distracted on other things, that this will just be about a gateway, Lord, to see in you. Thank you for the worship, Lord, and how you love us. And I pray that in this time that we'll respect that, Lord, through learning more about you. Amen. So, yeah, what I love about the word of God is that it's all different passages connect in the same way, and that the Bible is consistent all the way through. So today there's going to be a few different passages, but I believe that this message has been one that's on my heart for me personally, because I misunderstood this for a long, long time, and it's a very important thing. So yeah, from the passage, try this out. Do I point it up there? Yeah. I'll switch it on. All right. Yep. Is that all right? All right. So this is actually part of the message, right? I'm not stalling to try and get more time on my clock here. So if you count the F's in the sentence below, take a moment to do that. How many are there? We've got three, four, two. All right. There's six. Now, apparently, you don't count the F's in of. Okay, and there's a few ofs in there, which is what tripped you up. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because often in the Word, we scan through it and we actually miss key parts. And some of it's subconscious that we kind of just read the Word of God and we're like, yeah, I know what that means, and we go through. And for me, what the message today is about is that, okay? Because the greatest commandment, and this morning Phil teed me up real well for this, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the next one is the same. So what's the commandment here? The commandment is to love, okay? Now, when you think of love right away, we think, all right, well, yeah, I know how to love. Of course I do, you know. There's lots of different ways we might try and do that. It's sometimes a feeling you have, you know. Sometimes it's an action. You know, if you was to kiss someone, you feel like that's an expression of love. You know, you hear people say, oh, I love a warm coffee in the morning. I love it when, Farf used to say, love is gravy on my greens, over Sunday lunch. Sometimes you'd say, oh, I love it when this team loses. If Man City always win the league, I love it when they lose. Or I love my dog. And these are all ways of trying to say that these are personal preferences that you have. You know, you love these things. But do you love God like that in the same way? Probably not. And alongside that too, I think that sometimes we have our own standards of what love actually is. So, you know, we say, oh, well, if those two actually love each other, then they'll do these things. Or I asked God for this, and he didn't give it to me, so God mustn't love me. Okay, you do hear that quite a lot. And sometimes people will say, and this is obviously difficult, but like say, oh, well, my relative had cancer, and we prayed for them, and they weren't healed, so God doesn't love them. And if God is so loving, then why would he send someone to hell? Now, all those statements and our own reflection of love is so wrong. And from what Phil was saying this morning, it's actually sin, because we're taking God out of it completely. And that's a terrible thing to do. So God is love, okay? And this is what I found really hard to get my head around. There's not something that's called love and that God just happens to measure up to it or be at that level. God himself provides a definition and reality of what love actually is. And you can't truly love outside of God, okay? God provides love, and God is God. And that's something that's very, very hard to understand, because, you know, we all think that we love in different ways, but our love is ultimately flawed because it's very self-centered as well. So we're going to dive into that a little bit today, so try and stay with me. It's a tricky one to tackle. Now, I know that Don preached on 1 John 4 a little bit ago, but I just wanted, this is such a great passage in so many ways. John, the author in the Bible, he tackles a lot of tricky ones. You know, in the book of John, at the very beginning, and he said, you know, the Word was with God, the Word was God. And he's trying to say, look, you know, it's different, but it's the same. And trying to explain the Trinity, it's a tough one. And he's doing the same thing here, where he's saying, you know, those points in blue, I've tried to highlight it, so we're not gonna switch off. But it's just saying love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God, okay? So if you love, it's got to be from God, okay? Then the next part there, God is love. And that's one of those things where we skip over it. We read it and we see God is love. Okay, got it. You know, but it's like God is love. He provides love. He gives us love to love one another. And his love is perfected in us later on. So you can see that, like, when we can use God's love, you know, when we're truly seeking him. And then later on, again, God is love. Okay, whoever abides in love abides in God. And in we love because he first loved us. So we can't love without him loving us. Okay, so that's where we really get it from. And so this is essential as a framework and understanding this as best as possible. And then the next part is so encouraging too. These verses from Romans, when it's talking about the love of Christ, because the love of Christ is a central theme. If you typed it in on the Google search, there'll be so many passages that come up about the love of Christ and the love of God. And what's just amazing about it is it can't be taken from us. And people can try to stop it. You know, in here it's saying that we can face persecution. You know, and there's not even life or death, angels or demons, the present or the future, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So it's amazing to think that we have that. We have access to that the whole time. So with the commandment being, you shall love the Lord your God. Okay, this is a really key thing to own. Because if we're trying to love him in our way, where we're like, okay, yeah, I'll give him 5 minutes here and there and I'll try and do it every day and that way it's devoted. It's like, no, you need to seek God because it can only come from God. So we can't love him without him teaching us how to love, okay? It's very, very, very important. And then there are examples of God's love, and this is what's interesting because a lot of the time you'll hear people saying things like, oh, well, God sending Jesus is an example of love, but in when God said to Abraham, you should sacrifice Isaac, well, that's not love. And it's like, well, who are we to say that? We're making ourselves the God of love there, you know, trying to say, well, I'm going to say what's love and what isn't. Everything God does is in love, everything, okay? And that's a key thing to understand. So there are examples in the Bible gives us, like these verses, John 3:16, you know, the well-known verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And in greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And those are examples of God's love. But God's love comes from God because God is love. Okay, and that you can say it a lot of times. And this is just another example. You know, you hear preachers say this a lot about the triangle. But there's a reason it's true. But the reason is you can't love without God. So when you are drawing closer to God, you're learning about what true love really is. So when you are coming closer, it's the only way. It can't be done outside of it. And just, you know, in today's society, you see the divorce rate and you see how people just do whatever they want now. You know, they'll sleep they want, they'll go with people they want, they'll kind of live together but not be married. And our definition of love is getting worse and worse because most of the time now it's basically just whatever you want to do. Love yourself, you know, and you see that in a lot of different places. But instead of saying, you know, well, if we understand what God's love is and we understand God's character and we seek after God, then we'll know what love truly is. And then from there, all these other things that we strive for that we really want, like, a you know, marriage or loving your brother or sister, those things will come from God as well, okay, which is very important. Now in 1 Corinthians 13, these verses are amazing because they're very, very clearly about love. But I think that whenever you're saying one thing's more important than another thing, it's a big declaration in the Bible. And here, you know, there's lots of references to love and what it is and examples of it. And these things are all amazing. But I think the last part is amazing, is that it's talking about faith and hope and love. But it says the greatest of these is love. And in the commandments, when Jesus is saying the greatest commandments are to love. And that's why as Christians, we want to be specialist lovers, because you know all the time you need to be seeking after God, you need to be looking after your fellow brothers. And sometimes, you know, when people say, oh well, you know, this I wouldn't want to be a Christian because that guy over there is always grumpy, and you know, and it's difficult for us because, you know, I have my times as well, and there's always times when you're not truly seeking God and you'll fall away a little bit, but we want to really be specialists at seeking after God, after his character, learning what love is, so that we can love people around us, and we can certainly love the Lord God in the way that is right. And just for us as well, what's terrible about human nature is that we'll take something great, something like love, and then we just want to take God out of it. And then it goes from being something amazing, something pure, something great, to something that's now a false god, something that's fake, something that's obsessive. You're looking for it in the wrong ways and in the wrong types. And let's just say you have a car and you love your car and you've worked really hard. You're going to want to talk about your car. You're going to want to, you know, do research on your car. You're going to want to find out more about it. You'll probably think about it. And it's very interesting, though, that how stupid we really are, that we don't know how to prioritize things. We don't know how to value things. And sometimes, because it's so easy to have access to God, because he loves us, he's given us his word. You know, we can open an app and have the word of God on our phone. And in the olden times, I'd have to go to the temple, and it was very difficult. And there was this study done by the University of Chicago, and this was very interesting. So they had a survey, and they had a couple hundred people do it. And they had they asked them all the same question. They said, if you had to wait 99 days for an apple, would you wait one more day for a second apple? So everyone was like, yeah, definitely. You know, if I had to wait 99 days and get one apple, then of course I'd wait another 24 hours for one more. So they waited till a little bit of time went by, kind of changed the context, and then found those same people in a different situation. So they asked them, if tomorrow I gave you an apple, would you wait one more day for a second apple? And more than half of them were like, no, probably not. And it's very interesting because it's exactly the same question. Would you wait one day for an apple when you think about it? But they don't know how to value it because they were thinking, well, 99 days equals one, so one after one is a good deal. But then when you change it, but it's the same question. And it's very interesting that because it felt easy to them, like, oh, one day, one apple, yeah, that's not a big deal, so that apple can't be worth something, that we almost think about God like that too. Well, oh, it's very easy to access. I can pray whenever I want. I can read the word whenever I want. It's in my pocket. That we just don't value it. But really, it's the most important thing. And that's why seeking after God in truth and trying to really pursue him in the same way we would a car, a football team, a celebrity, or whatever we're into, that when that's on our mind, that's what we're really going after. But it's sad that a lot of the time, that those are things that we then try to link ourselves with. So like, I can identify who I am if I have a nice car, or if I'm this, or if I support this team and we win something, then I look great. So often, that's an expression of yourself. So really, you're kind of doing it, you know, talking about a car, but really you're hoping it makes you look good. But it's funny how we do that, because in Christ, we're somebody. But without Christ, we're not. We're nobody. And we can't love without Christ. So it's very strange how that works. But this is why this message is so important, is that it's unbelievably simple, but it's so true. That we can't be anywhere without Christ and not living in God. So these are the false gods that you'll see so much. And love is something beautiful and wonderful that God's given us. But we just take it and we make it whatever we want it to become. And certainly this morning, you know, in what Phil was saying about there's same-sex marriage and there's all sorts going on now where they've taken something that God's given us and it's been twisted and it's been changed. And then it becomes something that's completely the opposite of what God gave it to us for in the first place. So you see, you know, quotes like this one that is the God of the age, really. It's kind of hard to see that, where I don't know who that person is, but they just said, a prime purpose in this life is to help others. If you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. And it's like, all right, that sounds good, but without God, it's nothing. You know, you can try and go around and do good things, but like, even in missions, you can start to believe that you're doing a good thing. But if you're doing it without God, and you can even be sharing devotions, but if your heart isn't truly with God, and there's no love, that's a bigger problem. And this passage from Hosea, and Hosea in this, the whole book was about God talking to Israel about your unfaithfulness, you know, about you got to stick with it. And it's so interesting, this verse, because he says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Now, the interesting thing is that sacrifice and burnt offerings are the same thing. But steadfast love and the knowledge of God are also the same thing here. And that's what I found interesting, is that steadfast love and knowledge of God, you would think of two very, very separate things. But a steadfast love can only come from the knowledge of God, knowing who God is, knowing his character. Okay, those things are very, very important. And quite often for us, we just think we know how to love, we know how to do things, but then we're kind of missing the point. And even coming to church, you know, you can think, well, I'm making a sacrifice. I'm giving my time. I'm tithing my money. I'm supporting the programs or whatever we're doing. But if our heart isn't really truly in it, then that's not it. And that's really what this verse is saying, and that's why it's so important, is don't sacrifice. You know, God doesn't care in this situation about a calf being killed. You know, he can do that if he wants to. He's really looking after, look, are you really pursuing me? Do you want to know me? Do you want to know who I am? Do you want to know, you know, what I've done? And this is the key as Christians, is for us to really be focused on these things in the most upright way. And I'll tell you a story. This one was very interesting, and it goes to show my faults as well. Before the Mexico trip, we'd recruited a pretty good team. We knew we had to play professional teams, so it was very hard to gauge how good exactly we needed our team to be. But there was one midfielder coming that was a really good player, and I was like kind of thinking she'll be probably our best centre midfielder. And then a couple of weeks before this tour, she calls me and she's like, I just got a professional contract. I'm really sorry I can't come. And in my head, I was like, oh man, that's a killer. Like 2 weeks to find someone, and I don't know what to do. But while she called me, I was actually driving from Indiana to Cleveland. So on the way, I stopped by because a few of our players were playing in a college game in the spring. So I was at the game when she called, and I looked out on the field and thought, I need to recruit someone here because I haven't got time, and I need to find out if they have a passport, if they can even travel. So I was kind of thinking, oh, this is not great. So I was thinking I'll just pick someone out there. So there's one player stood out. So I thought, all right, she's good, and she's not great, but like if she can pass the ball, at least she can make some of the others play. So in my mind, I thought, all right, I need to go and recruit her. So I knew the coach of the team pretty well. So I thought, you know, I'm going to need to probably twist his arm a little bit and call in a favor here. So my attitude wasn't great. I was kind of annoyed the other player wasn't coming. So I kind of went down and I knew she wasn't going to want to do it, you know. So I just talked to her and was like, look, you know, you should definitely come. And she was like, I'm supposed to be in a wedding. I was like, you're not getting married, right? She's like, no. I was like, right, so just come along, you know. Honey loves that. but then I kept going after her, and she said, oh, can I get back to you tomorrow maybe? And I was like, well, if that means you're going to go away and think of an excuse and come back tomorrow, then no, but like, you know, we want you to come. It's a good thing we're doing. And she was like, well, you know, we had a lot of Christians already on the tour, and she was like, well, I don't know much about that. And it was like, you don't have to share. You can learn from the others on the tour, and this could be a good experience for you. So then she goes, all right, fine, I'll come. And, you know, the coach put pressure on her and whatnot. So on the tour itself, we have each player share their story within the team. So we'll do our own little stuff as well. You know, there'll be Bible studies available and whatnot. So this girl goes up front, and she just burst into tears straight away. And she said, I can't believe I'm telling you guys this because I don't really know a lot of you guys. And she said that she'd written a suicide note not too far from that time, and that she felt like her parents had abandoned her. And, you know, afterwards when we were speaking, she said, if it wasn't for this tour, I might have done it. And it was crazy because I was thinking to myself, wow, I'm such an idiot. I was thinking about football. My attitude wasn't very good. But look what God did in that situation. Nothing to do with me. Zero to do with me. I probably was on course to screw that whole thing up. But God had a plan. And I think that for myself, I've realized that the best things that have happened in my life was God. It was things that I did not want to do. Even in the first place, going to America, when it first came up, I remember thinking, no way, like, that's crazy. You know, they don't even know about football. And then as time's gone by, I think now I'm almost at peace with living outside of just my own realms of comfort, because that's probably an idolatrous place. And even for the tour coming up to Mexico, it happens in just about 2 months. And honestly, I haven't actually recruited a team yet because I'm leaving space for God to work, because I know that there are some things that will happen. And it's almost to the point where you're almost relying on miracles because you know what God can do. And I've seen it on these tours. I mean, I could be up here for a long time telling stories of what God's done. And it's almost embarrassing, the process of self-reliance. And even after something amazing's happened, you kind of creep back to it, and you start to want to be you again, and, oh, well, I've got to make sure this happens and that happens. And all of it's completely out of my hands. And I, now from this, I have such a peace about it too. I almost enjoy it more, because you're kind of waiting to see what's God going to do now, you know, what's about to happen. And when those things happen, it's almost like expected, where he'll move in incredible ways, where amazing things will happen. It's lovely to be a spectator and not be running around stressing yourself out trying to do stuff. And even for preparing things now too, on the retreat on the weekend, we had a schedule, and the Bible time, the gospel presentation was on Saturday night. It's supposed to be at 9 o'clock. Like, everything was prepared, everything was set. So the game beforehand did go over time, and there was some weather issues which kind of delayed us a little bit. Then the projector wasn't working, and there was all these things happening. And usually in the past, I think that would have bothered me a lot. I would have been, oh man, how are we going to do this and all that. But I remember just being, we'll speak the truth, and then we'll let God move. Whatever happens, happens. But there's nothing we can do. It's not about how well we present or if there's a good video or something. It's more about God will move. And sure enough, so the gospel presentation itself was probably about 3 minutes, just straight to the point. This is the word of the Lord, and that was it. And the responses was absolutely incredible. We've never had that many people asking to stay afterwards and trying to talk to coaches, and we almost ran out of coaches for what we needed at the time. But this is what I've really learned in ministry, that you can't love without God. And it's I can't stress that enough. And it's a very simple point. And when you read through passages, those are things that you'll skip over very quickly, that you'll think, yep, I know that. But it's like, it's not like you got it. It's like you have to keep going all the time, because steadfast love is long. It's like you have to keep going and read the word and make sure you're really seeking after God, because that's when he'll, you know, you're actually loving God in the true way that he's talking about in the commandments. And when he commands us, it's a big deal. So when he's saying, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind, that's a commandment. That's not just like, hey, if you can do that, that'll be good. It's kind of like, that's what we have to do. That's what we're designed for. So, yeah, that's basically a two-point sermon. So that's it, really. But I think that try to spend time on this. Try to think about this. So when you go away afterwards, just try to make personal decisions about, you know, about making sure that you're in the Word and you're relying on God for your love. And often we have that hole where we want relationships. We want people to like us. You know, we want to be in. You see all this stuff on TV about how people want to try and come across, and all the music in this day and age that comes out, it's all about the fake love. It's all about how you can get what you want and get that feeling, and then if you don't like the next person, just move them on and try and create that feeling again. Everything's short term, but unless we're really rooted in God himself and God's character, then it's never going to happen. So that's really something. And certainly, you know, you see depression these days is extremely high. And the more the world moves away from God, the higher the need is, and the more desperate they get, and the crazier things are. But really, just staying true to the fact that God is love. Okay, love does not come from anywhere else except from God. And really owning that is such an important point. So that's it for me. Let me just pray for us, and then that'll be up. Yes, Lord, we do thank you that you are love, Lord, that you do love us, that you tell us, Lord, about how you desire us to love you, how you desire us to pursue you, to know who you are, to know your character. And we thank you, Lord, for how you love us in discipline, how you love us in blessings, and how you love us in different ways where you know the right path for us, you know the best place for us to be. And while we don't like it, Lord, we know that your love is always there, and that nothing can change that, nothing can take that away from us, that you love us continually. And I pray that instead of rebelling and fighting and trying to create our own false love, that we'll just accept, Lord, that you are God and you are love, and that just through you we can have these things that we're pursuing, but only through you, Lord, and nothing else at all. So while you give us amazing gifts, while you give us things like football, may we never turn anything like that into a false god. May we never try and take you out of it and put ourselves up in that place. So, Father, again, we thank you for your endless love and for your promises. And for all these passages, Lord, there's many more that talk about your love and how much you've given. And it's so vast, Lord, we'll never truly understand it. But thank you for this time. Thank you for everyone here. And I pray that you'll bless us, Lord.